and how God wants to birth a miracle in your life. Do you know that God wants to birth a miracle in your life? And the reason why God hasn't birthed more miracles in our life is because we're spiritually barren. Amen? And we can glean through the scriptures from the people who were physically barren what changed things. Amen? How many of you know that we need change in our life? I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. My aim, my goal is higher ground, as the old hymn says, amen? And I want God to birth new things in my life, amen? You know, we are to bring people into the kingdom with us. We are to impart what God has given us into the lives of others. We are to make disciples of all men. And we are to have God continually using us to birth miracles in the world, amen? Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And just kind of hold your finger there, because we will eventually get to it. My introduction will probably take me about an hour and a half, and then we'll get to our text. I'm teasing. Maybe not quite that long. But, hey, I don't tell God what how short or long to make it. So, you know, you get what you get what you get. You get what you get. You get what you get. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Does it irritate anybody else that Bible pages are so thin that you keep flipping back and forth and you jump 12 chapters back and forth and you're like, where is that at? All right. Before we talk about the events of 1 Samuel, I just want to quote one verse to you from Proverbs chapter 30, verse 16. Four things that are never satisfied according to the Word of God. How many of you guys have ever heard this verse before, read before? The four things that are never satisfied. The grave is number one. The earth being not filled with water is number two. A fire is number three. And a barren womb is number four. You know what? You can try to encourage a woman who can't have kids. You can try to tell her all these nice things, and you will never, ever, ever, ever convince her that everything's fine. When she wants a baby and she can't have one, she's not a happy woman. Amen? A barren womb is never satisfied. Now, when we talk about barrenness, there are three categories of physical barrenness. There is, first of all, the one who does not know they're barren, right? You know, maybe they're 19 or 20, young, and haven't tried to have kids, so they don't know they're barren. Really, not really an issue with the one that doesn't know they're barren, because they don't know, right? And then the second category is the people who know they're barren but have hope that maybe down the road they'll conceive. Maybe they're, you know, nowadays they have fertility clinics and all these things, and they haven't given up hope. The doctor said, you know, this isn't working right, or this is not working right. And in fact, my daughter in Hawaii is going through that right now. She's taking all these, you know, and then they give you certain days of the month when you try, and it's just a lot of work, but they haven't given up hope, you know. So that's the second category. And the third one of barrenness is the one who knows that they're barren but kind of has accepted it and has kind of lost hope. It's just, that's just the way it's going to be. I'll never have any kids, right? Now, you can take these three categories and then you can apply them to the term of spiritual barrenness. And, of course, the one who does not know that they're spiritually barren is kind of the category from Revelation chapter 3 that we've been quoting for the last few weeks, where Jesus, in the letter to the lukewarm church, the last day church, says, "You say you can see, but you're blind. You say that you're clothed, but you're naked. You say that you're rich, but you're poor. You know, buy of me eye salve, you know, that you can really see." And that's really a scary place to be, isn't it? To think that you have something that you do not have. To think that you are somewhere where you're not. Remember last Sunday morning in Bible study, we were doing the story of Samson and Delilah. And the Bible told us that, you know, when she finally cut his hair He told her everything in his heart. He said, I will arise and shake myself as before, but he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. And so that's kind of where this category one is. It's where you think you still got it, but you don't have it. Or you think you have it and don't know that you're spiritually barren, right? The second category in spiritual barrenness, again, using these same categories, the one who knows that they are spiritually barren, but they hope that God will change their situation. That's a good place to be. In fact, that's where we want to be. We want to recognize our weaknesses, recognize our barrenness, recognize our own faults and our own sins and our own shortcomings, but hope in God. Amen? But have faith that God's going to change my situation, that God's going to do a work in me, that he who began a work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, that he's still working on me. Amen? And that's where we want to be. You know, Jesus told the parable of the man praying. There's a Pharisee on the street corner, standing on the street corner where everybody could see him, saying, thank you, Lord, I'm not like all these other sinners, that I fast and that I pay my tithe and I'm just a spiritual good guy. And then there's this other dude over here on the other side, down on his knees, on his face, not even lifting his eyes to heaven, beating his chest, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that guy went home justified. That guy went home heard by God. And so that's this second category we're talking about, people who know that they're spiritually barren, but have enough sense to have hope that God can change the situation. Another example of that is when Peter, early in Jesus' ministry, and Peter's with Jesus, and he sees the miracle and the power and the divinity of Jesus, says, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinner, you know? Peter recognized, I don't even deserve to stand in your shadows, Jesus. I ought not to be elbowing with you. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know the things I've said. Come on, don't look at me so smug. We're just like Peter. You know, I mean, aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't choose people based on their spirituality or the pedigree or how clean a life they lived, you know? In fact, in the lineage to Christ, we've got murderers, and we've got adulterers, and we've got people who've done all kinds of atrocities. Moses murdered. David committed adultery. We're in good company here. Amen? Heaven's going to be full of sinners saved by the grace of God. Praise God. And then, of course, the third category of those who know they're spiritually barren but have hopes is when the centurion came to Jesus to come to his house and heal his servant. And Jesus said he would go with him. He said, I'm not worthy of you stepping under my roof. You just speak the word. You're the man, you know. He knew, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of you coming under the roof of my house. So those are examples of people who are spiritually barren but hope in God. The third one, of course, is those who know they are spiritually barren but have accepted it and just consider, well, it's always going to be this way, you know. You know, I've known people who've said to me, because I feel like I don't have great faith, but I have faith, you know. You can't not have faith and be in the ministry. I can tell you that right now. Because your faith gets stretched every day, you know. The Lord brings someone into the church. Oh, praise the Lord. Church is growing. And find out someone's getting ready to leave, you know. You know, if you don't have faith, you live in depression, let me tell you. And so, anyway, people say to me, you know, well, I could never have the kind of faith that you have. And you know what I do? I just smile. I just smile, look at them. Okay. And the reason I smile is because I know the power of God. I know what God can do. I know there's no mountain too big for God. And though they think they don't have enough faith to be like me, I know that God, the same God that brought me where I'm at today, has the power to bring them there too. And so they may look at me and go, oh, you're so spiritual, I can never be. And I'm just like smiling. It's like, you don't know what's in store for you. God's getting ready to do something in your life. God's getting ready to bring you up. God's getting ready to save you. God's getting ready to fill you with the Holy Spirit. God's getting ready to call you in the ministry. Hang on. Amen. The God I serve is a mountain mover. There is no womb that God can't touch. There is no spiritual barrenness that God can't make fruitful. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about a God that performs miracles. I'm talking about a God that does mighty deeds. Come on, church, let me hear you say it. God is about to perform a miracle in your life. Your barren womb is about to be fruitful. God is getting ready to do a work. Hallelujah. So the question is, which category are you? Are you the spiritually barren to some degree? Yes, we all are. So the first step then is to take inventory of my life and to ask the Lord to show me where I'm at in the spiritual barrenness. Is God using me? Am I praying miracles into the lives of others? Am I walking in the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That means not blowing your fuse. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. See, if you think you're not spiritually barren, just read the fruit of the Spirit. Every one of us got some barrenness in there somewhere. Amen. That we need God to touch and to bring the fruit of the Spirit. Birth self-control in us. Birth love for people that aren't lovable in us. Amen. You know, one of the things the Lord's been teaching me lately, and don't think He doesn't teach me, and that is in the category of love. You know, you can know this Bible forward and backward, but people don't care what you know till they know that you care. And I need God to bring me up to the level of where I'm more of a extrovert than an introvert, because, you know, I am kind of a computer programmer nerd who's usually, his normal state is happy in a corner with a computer and don't talk to me. Why God called me in the ministry, I still don't know, but He's working on me and He's wanting to birth more outgoing love in my life, more pick up the phone and call someone today kind of love. You hear what I'm saying? I'm just being real with you guys, because God's working on me and God's working on you, and God wants to birth something in our lives. Yeah. Amen? Now, if you're in the first category, barren and don't know it, then you're in that Revelation lukewarm church. And that's the church that gets left behind in the rapture, just saying, right? And so what Jesus told that church to do is if you say that you're this but you're not, He said, buy of me eye salve. Well, what in the world does that mean? Does Jesus have a store down here on the corner of 4th and Muskogee, you know? Go buy eye? No. He says, buy of me something that will change it. And how do you buy? You spend. You spend time with God. You spend time in the Word. You spend time on your knees. You spend yourself. Paul said, I am both spent and spend for souls. You know, it's how you invest your time. It's how you invest your energy. It's how you invest your life. And I can either, you know, sit here and accumulate money, or I can come over here and do my own thing. You know, we just got through the Christmas season, but one of the greatest quotable lines in the story of I always call it Scrooge, what is it called? A Christmas Carol, is when he tells the partner in the business, tells Ebenezer Scrooge, souls should have been your business. I mean, that's a powerful line. Souls should have been your business. It should have been about souls. That's how God wants us to spend our life, to be poured out as a drink offering. And if you're in that third, if you're in that category, that first category where you don't realize you're barren and you want God to change things, then begin to ask Jesus to help you to spend yourself on Him, and He will open your eyes. I think also we need at that point, if we're in that first category and we don't think we're barren, spiritually barren, to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to do a work, because He can put His finger on things that you don't even know exist. Amen. Let's just take a minute right now. Put your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, take inventory of my life right now. Show me areas of my life, blind sights that I don't know. Reveal to me spiritual barrenness in my life that I need to take care of. Lord, I don't want to be left behind. We know you're getting ready to call the church home. So just, Lord, send the Holy Spirit in my life today, tomorrow, and this week to show me areas of my life where I am spiritually barren. And then by your grace, Lord, help me to seek you and to change that situation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, if you're not in Category 1, I want to skip Category 2 for a minute and just look at Category 3, those who just accept it, those who understand they're spiritually barren, understand that, but, you know, well, I've always been like this, you know. My dad was poor and my granddad was poor, so I'm going to be poor, right? You ever heard people talk like that? Well, you know, well, my dad had heart problems and it runs in the family, right? That's that same category, right? I'm the product of my environment. How many of you guys ever heard people say that, you know? You know, well, you know, product of my environment, you know? I was conditioned that way. Well, excuse me, don't you tell me it runs in the blood because you've been adopted into a new family, amen? His blood's flowing through my veins now. You don't have to accept that situation. Jesus told a story of an unjust judge. The unjust judge neither regarded God nor man. In other words, the only way people got anything with this judge, you had to know somebody or had to grease his palm, right? A little money under the table. He was not a just judge. He was an unjust judge. And this little widow woman had an atrocity done to her, and she went to the judge and told him, and he just blew her off because he's an unjust judge. She's got no money. She doesn't know people. So, you know, I ain't got time for you. Yeah, yeah, head your way, you know. But he said that she just kept coming. This little widow woman just kept coming to the unjust judge. She just kept coming, and he's like, oh, here comes that woman again. You know, why don't you just leave me alone? And she kept coming. I said she just kept coming. She kept knocking. She kept asking. She kept seeking. She kept coming. And finally, Jesus said, though he regarded neither God nor man, he gave the woman everything she wanted because of her insisting, her increasing coming over and over and over again. So persistence, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you, brother. And so Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Thank you. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, has the door open to you. There is no closed door that God can't open if you just keep knocking. Amen? Learn the lesson of the unjust judge. And now this is an unjust judge. How much more will your Father in heaven give you everything you ask if you ask it according to His will? Amen? Peter. Jesus walking on the water. Peter sees him. If it's you, Lord, bid me to come to you on the water. I got a feeling the Holy Spirit's sitting there on the left side of Jesus, and Jesus had to snicker and look over at him. Watch this. Come. Right? Peter slaps those big old number 12s out of that boat on the water and begins to walk on the water. Jesus. Now, I know there's plenty of lessons about taking your eyes off Jesus there. But I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about someone who had enough faith to get out of the boat. Amen? You know, people say, I had someone say to me the other day in kind of a snide, so is the church growing? Well, bless God, I'm out of the boat. How about you? Amen. You know? I may not do it all perfect, but I'm out of the boat. And you know what? You may make mistakes. You may slip. You may stumble. But just get out of the boat. Amen? Just get out of the boat. Now going back to the second category, the people who know and have hope. Hopefully that's where we're all at. You know, knowing my blind sides, knowing my spiritual barrenness, but hoping in God that things are going to change. I know my kids aren't where they need to be, but I have hope. I know my finances are not where they need to be, but I have hope. I know my ministry is not where it needs to be, but I have hope. I know my health may not be where it needs to be, but I have hope. I know my life isn't all that it should be, but I have hope. I don't hope in my finances. I don't hope in my job. I don't hope in the economy. I don't hope in my doctor. I put my hope in the one who will not disappoint me, the one who holds the universe in the span of his hand. I put my hope in the Lord. He is my helper, ever-present help in time of need. Amen? So if we know that we are spiritually barren, then I am no longer willing to accept it. If I am no longer willing to accept it, what do? I told you that was my introduction. Now we're ready to get to the text. It's only 11:45. Don't worry, the hot dogs will keep. 1 Samuel 1. This is for the rest of us, right? Those of us who know we're spiritually barren, but we have hope. Here we go. This is what we do. Now I'm going to skip verse 1 because there's too many long words in there. So this man, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other one was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. She was barren. And this man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Now, let me just ask a question right there. Is it possible that God is behind some of our spiritual barrenness? Well, this says God was behind her womb. Why is that? You know, the Apostle Paul said that the Lord had put this thorn in the flesh for a purpose. It was to keep him humble, to keep him in prayer. And maybe sometimes some of our spiritual barrenness is to keep us on our knees before the Lord a little more. Amen? And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was. Now, isn't that sad when you got people mocking you because of it? And so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her there, for she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons?" Now, ladies, isn't this just like a man? They just don't get it, do they? Nope. She's crying. It's like, "Well, baby, you got me, baby. I'm better than 10 kids." Oh, joy. Yeah. And so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting at the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. How many of you guys know what that means? We've all been there, haven't we? Bitterness of soul. And she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." That's that oath of a Nazarite, right? And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, but only moved her lips, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk, and Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drank in neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." And then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition." May the God of Israel birth that thing in you today. Amen. Which you have asked of him. And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." And so the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You know, when you get a word from the Lord, your face is no longer sad. Sometimes all we need is a word from the Lord. You know, if you get a word from the Lord, I mean one of those rhema words. I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about a heart knowledge. Where you know that you know that you know that God has heard you and it's going to be all right. Then you don't even have to see the end results. Once you got a word from the Lord, you say, hey, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You know? Amen. Take it to the bank. That's right. And then they rose early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked for him of the Lord. Isn't that a great story? I just love that story. And so she named him Samuel, which means asked of God. You know, if God births something in your life, you can call it asked of God. Say, hey, I didn't know you got a new house. Yeah, you know what I named it? Asked of God. Hey, I didn't know God heals you. What'd you name that healing? Asked of God. Hey, I didn't know your ministry doubled overnight. What'd you name that? Asked of God. Called him Samuel, asked of God. Amen. Now, the Bible says you have not because you ask not, right? You have not because you ask not. She prayed to the Lord, verse 10. She didn't complain to her friend. She prayed to the Lord. She didn't ask God, why me, Lord? Why me? She prayed to the Lord. She asked the Lord. She poured out her heart to the Lord. She prayed to the Lord. Second thing she did is she wept. When we really understand our spiritual barrenness, it will break us. Yeah. You know, the problem with the church today is they don't understand their spiritual barrenness. That's why Jesus said the last day church will think that it's barren when it's not. That's what that means. The last day church will think that it's rich when it's poor. The church is spiritually barren today. I need to be broken to the point where I understand just how barren I am, and then I will cry out to the Lord. She wept. The third thing she did was fasted, verse 8. And the fourth thing she did, she vowed a vow to the Lord. She said, I will give him back to you. Now, the scriptures tell us why our prayers aren't answered. It says, you have not because you ask not. And you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss to receive it upon your own lust. Reason why you never won the lottery is because you couldn't handle $1 million. It would get you in trouble. That's what that means. The reason you can't handle, the reason God doesn't answer this prayer or that prayer or that prayer is because you couldn't handle it. Amen? And maybe God knows I couldn't handle a church bigger than this one. I don't know. But you know, I want to. I want to be able to handle. I want to be able to handle $1 million and not let it corrupt me. You know, I want all that God has for me, and the only way that's going to happen is if God heals my barrenness. Amen. So she said, "If you will give me this son, I'll give him back to you." That is really the summation of the answer to barrenness. Because anything short of that is that verse, you will consume it upon your own lust. Anything short of not giving it back to God is consuming it upon your own lust. Because you are either God-centered or self-centered, and the reality is most of us 99% of the time are self-centered. Amen? And God wants to change our barrenness. God wants to change our heart. God wants us to be able to be birthing miracles every day of our life. To walk as Jesus walked. To talk as Jesus talked. To do what Jesus did requires me to deny myself and let God begin to birth things in me for the glory of God. But I will never be able to do that until I'm able to lay what I ask for on the altar of God and give it back to God. And that's what she did. She said, Lord, she cried, she prayed, she asked, she fasted, and then she vowed a vow to God. If you give me this thing, If you birth this thing in me, I'm giving it back to you. The legacy of little Samuel was so great that two books of the Bible were named after him. One of the greatest prophets in the history of Israel that Samuel became, because this woman birthed him and gave him back to God. The second example along that line, of course, is the example of Abraham and Isaac. You know, God had the audacity to wait until Abraham was 100 years old, his wife Sarah 99, and he said, now you're ready for me to birth you. You know, I don't know if I'm going to have to wait until I'm 100 years old before Faith Fellowship is full, but, you know, if that's the way God wants it, that's okay by me. But then God had the audacity, now? You want me to have it now? You know, we tend to think, you know, well, I expected the ministry to flourish when I had dark hair, you know? Or I expected, you know, this to happen when I was young. Or I expected this to happen, you know, when I had more energy or whatever, right? But sometimes God allows this barrenness for a period of time until we're ready. And then he said, now. It's never too late, though, is it? See, Abraham believed God, but Sarah laughed, didn't she? She laughed and said, are you kidding me? Ha, 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 ha. I'm an old woman. Have a kid now? Have God birth something in me now? Have God use me in the ministry now? Have God allow me to lay hands on someone and they be healed now? Have God restore my marriage now? Have God bring that Mr. Right now? Have God meet my financial needs now? God is never too late. He doesn't come when you think he's going to come, but I'm here to tell you, he's never too late. And so once again, after all of that, after little Isaac came at age 100, then God says, now, put him on the altar. Give him back to me. You will never birth a miracle into your life until you're willing to lay it on the altar. Until you're willing to give it to God, no matter what it costs. You've got to be willing to give it to God. The last example, of course, is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. You say, well, she wasn't barren. No, it's a little harder. See, we can understand how God can heal a barren womb and someone can have a baby, but it's a whole lot harder when she doesn't have a husband, right? That's actually a little step up of barrenness, isn't it? In fact, in the natural, we call that impossible, right? And that's what she said when she asked the angel, how can this be, seeing as I have no man? And so you may say to me this morning, what you're telling me, you don't know my situation. That's impossible. God could never do that. My problem's too big. My barrenness is too hard. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the pain that I've suffered. You don't know the scars that I carry. Well, my answer to you is what the angel said to Mary that day. With God, all things are possible. Come on up, Nola. With God, all things are possible. And like Hannah and like Abraham, little Mary, when he grew up, saw her son on the altar of the cross as well. And, you know, some people may say, how could a mother endure seeing her son hanging on a cross? It would have been better if she hadn't birthed that thing. Well, I mean, I'm speaking like a fool. We know it was God's plan. But sometimes people don't take the chance. Some people don't step out of the boat because they're afraid it'll hurt too bad when God asks them to lay it on the altar. But don't you know that Jesus, in his infinite love, comforted her in a way that only he could? Don't you know the Holy Spirit had his arms wrapped around Mary as she was looking at Jesus at the foot of the cross? And if she had to do it again, I'm sure she would say, I'd do it all over again. Let's all stand. this morning as we begin to pray, I feel like God is wanting to birth some things in some people's lives. And I'd like to pray for you. It's not that my prayers are powerful or magical or have anything, but you know, if you're not willing to step out of the boat, you may never walk on water. If you're not willing to take a chance, even if you're worried about what people think, my Lord, if I never took chances, I would be so barren today. I would be so dry, so empty. Sometimes we got to take that step. Sometimes we got to take that risk. Sometimes we got to put it out there and make that vow to God that, Lord, today is the day. I've been barren too long. I've been barren too long. I have stayed back. I have felt the embarrassment and the ridicule of my barrenness. But if God will take me, hallelujah, if God will have me, then I'm putting it on the altar today. No more barrenness. I'd just like to ask you to come out and let me pray for you right now. Come on, I know there's several of you. Yes, yes. Who else? Come on, anybody. Come on up. I'm just going to pray for you. Don't be afraid. Anybody else? We got the whole church here just about this morning. Come on, anybody else? How about you? Yeah, all right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody else? All right, let's just grab hands together here. We're praying together. The Bible says one hand can't say to the other, I don't need you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to help me pray, come on up, put a hand on these people. Father, this morning, right now, Lord, you see the hunger, the brokenness, the desire, Lord, this morning of these people. Lord, we need a touch from you this morning. We need you to heal our barrenness this morning, Lord. Lord, we want you to birth something fresh in us today. We want you to birth something fresh in us today. Today we make vows, Lord. And you said better not to make a vow than to make it and break it. But today we make a vow, Lord, that we're going to seek you more. We're going to buy of you oil, salve for our eyes. Lord, we understand we're barren. We're spiritually barren this morning. But Lord, we're not the barrenness that are blind. And we're not the barrenness that have no hope. Lord, we have hope in you this morning that you're going to birth something in my life this week. That you're going to birth something in my heart this month. That you're going to use me this year. That this barrenness, Lord, was here for a time and for a season, but no more. It's time. The gestation period is coming. I'm about to birth something, Lord, in the kingdom right now. I'm about to see God do a work in my life that he's never done before right now. I'm hungry for a move of God this morning. I'm hungry for a touch of the Lord this morning. God birthing us this morning, a new thing. Birthing us more this morning, Lord, a new thing. Lord, touch our dry and barren womb, our spiritual womb this morning, and begin to birth in us a move of God. Begin a birth in us, a touch from heaven. Begin a birth in us, a new hunger, Lord. A new fasting, a new hunger, a new desire, a new way, Lord. A new way to pray, a new way to lead, a new way to love, a new way to love, Lord. God, birth in us a new thing. And Lord, like Hannah today, let's just raise our hands. Like Hannah, like Abraham. Like Mary, Lord, we're putting it on the altar today. We're giving it back to you. This is not about me this morning, Lord. It's about laying it on the altar this morning. It's about saying, Lord, I don't care what people think. I don't care what they say. I'm laying it all on the altar this morning. I'm giving it all to you today. And I'm asking you, Lord, to take it, to receive my offering, to receive it, Lord. I lay it down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Lord, I just pray for, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. And I pray for, Lord, for the rest of the congregation or anybody listening through the internet. Lord, I know that Linda said that she's been listening to us, Lord, and anybody else that's listening online, Lord, we just ask that you stretch forth your hand right now. and that you touch those people where they're at right now. Whether they're near or far, whether they're in New Mexico or just west of town, whether they're north or south or east or west, if they're listening by CD, they're listening by the internet, we ask you, Lord, to just stretch forth your hand and touch and heal their barrenness and heal their dryness and heal their fear and heal their loneliness and heal their hurts, God, and begin to birth a new thing in them right now. Begin to birth a new thing in them right now, Lord. And just, Lord, and then let them, as these, lay it on the altar, Lord, just to give it all to you. Not my will, but thine be done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we call the thing Samuel. This is what God has done. God has done this. God brought this thing. God birthed this thing. We give him all the praise in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm glad I came to church today. Look at there, just a little afternoon. That wasn't so bad, was it? I had you scared, didn't I? We're glad you came today. God bless you. Give someone a big hug before you go.